That's music of Mozart, his piano concerto number 12, in a recording by the great pianist Leon Fleischer. He played his first public concert at the age of 8. He's playing his latest series of concerts this weekend with the Baltimore Symphony at the age of 90. Concerts that will include this wonderful concerto. Welcome back to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Leon Fleischer joins me in the studio. It is so good to see you, sir.
Oh, not as good as it is to see you, Tom.
Just delighted that you're coming back. And it strikes me that Mozart was 26 years old when he wrote this piece that you're going to play tonight and tomorrow and Sunday. You're more than three times older than he was when he wrote it.
Don't mean a thing.
Don't mean a thing. I wondered, what does it mean? Because, you know, you have played this piece and many other pieces by Mozart and a million other composers for years. What do you know about it now that you didn't know when you were Mozart's age, 26?
In relation to what he knew, I'm not very sure. In relation to what I knew when I was 26, I think I hear a little bit differently now, hopefully. And I hear things that I never heard before. The way a note hangs in the air, the way one note connects to another, the way notes relate to one another and possible meanings of that. It's all very expressive and speaks to those parts of our souls that are not susceptible to words.
So do you think that you're playing it considerably different now, differently? I mean, and are you playing everything you play much differently, you know, in a sort of dramatically different way than you were playing in your teens or your 20s or 30s?
Hopefully not dramatically different, but a little more aware. I think it's kind of like with life. Before we go on, I have to kind of turn the tables here and just, as a resident of Baltimore, which I consider myself now since I've been here since 1959.
Yeah, that qualifies.
Yeah, okay.
you qualify as a local, yeah.
I just have to express my astonished delight at your switch of career, this step that is shown your own brilliance, may I say.
Well, you're really very kind.
You've brought so much pleasure and awareness and knowledge and
That's very nice. And really? When I was working as a musician full time, I had the great joy and pleasure of working with you on a few occasions. And we did an opera together at the Baltimore Opera, The Marriage of Figaro.
I'll never forget
that show. That was a great, great time.
That was one of my life's greatest experiences.
Yeah. Would you describe your approach to pieces now sort of as experimental? Is it important to find something new in the piece each time you take it up?
Hopefully, you know, when you go looking for it, sometimes it the nature of the beast is that it will elude you. Other times when you're not really looking for it, it comes up behind you and gives you a whack over the back of the head and you say, what an idiot I've been. I've missed this for the last four decades.
Yeah. So there is always something new to find, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what makes a great piece of art great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you practice now? What do you do perhaps differently now in your practice session when you're in that studio in your house by yourself as opposed to when you're playing a show?
I have a tendency now just to do everything quite slowly, even very fast music, to do it quite slowly and not too loud, and just listen, listen, listen. That's a good recipe for life.
It's a good recipe for those of us in the public square on any level. Public discourse.
Yeah.
Could do with a whole lot more listening and a whole lot less talking.
Yeah.
Do you get the same kind of gratification from performing and being the conduit for this beautiful art to so many people around the world now than you did when you were starting out, when you were a kid?
Well, I think probably even more a little bit. In that the more nuanced or the more subtle are your goals, when you achieve them, the pleasure is commensurately greater. Yeah.
And you've taught at the Peabody Institute?
I think
six decades,
my right leg, I think, is part of the foundation.
I wouldn't doubt it, not for a second. But and you have
people
a wonderful...
think it's the Washington Monument. No, it's my right leg.
That's your leg. Huh? Well, it's sturdy, that's for sure. That's good. You have a wonderful and distinct way of teaching, and it's the way that you learned when you were a young student. And that is all of your students, you have seven or eight of them, I guess, and they all come together for everybody else's lessons. So you're not teaching one student
one
at a time,
one.
Which is how most piano teachers do it.
Yeah.
And that, what is the advantage of that?
Oh, I would think it's obvious. When you're sitting and listening to somebody else's lesson, you're not under the gun. You don't have to reproduce what you're being asked to reproduce at the moment on demand. You're probably hearing repertoire that you haven't played and or that you intend to play at some time in your life. So you get a leg up on it. And you begin to evolve certain general principles about music, how one piece will relate to another, how one style, in what way does the style begin to change over time. And, we deal essentially with two different dimensions simultaneously. We deal with a dimension of what we call dynamics, or loud and soft, everything in between very loud and very soft. And we deal with time. And that's very sensitive, is time. Brings me to another part of music, and that is the orchestra. We're a city that's very proud of our teams, and we're flying high with the Ravens, our football team at the moment. Unfortunately, our baseball team is setting records in the wrong direction, unfortunately.
And our orchestra team is encountering some challenges these days.
Yes, and...
The musicians have been without a contract since the middle of September.
Yeah.
The board is suggesting some rather dramatic cuts to the operating budget.
And I would love to call upon our, not just Baltimoreans, but Marylanders. We have an extraordinary team in this orchestra. You know, if 11 people on a football team can move in and out and create spaces to make touchdowns with only 11 people, can you imagine what kind of a team it takes? 83, I think we have 83 people in our orchestra. It hovers around 90. You know, New York and the Big Five, the Big Six, I think, even go over 100 with their strings. But to get these people to train them in effect, to kind of teach them to play so together, to breathe together. And if you stop to think, the varying instruments take differing lengths of time to produce a tone. You know, on a stringed instrument, the moment you start pulling the bow against the string, there is sound. What is it, on a French horn, you have 27 feet of tubing between where you put in, blow in the air and where the air comes out.
So to get that French horn note and that string note to attack at the
together,
same time, it's
I
quite
mean,
something.
Really extraordinary.
Well, you've had a long relationship with the Baltimore Symphony and orchestras around the world, but, you know, as your hometown band, this is something that you've...
I feel very strongly about it.
You played the opening concert at the Meyerhoff Symphony Hall when it opened back in 1982. That's the summer I came here.
You know? Really?
Yeah, I was riveted to that. I couldn't get a ticket. Had to watch it on TV, but it was terrific. And in this age of the internet, in this age of, you know, music being consumed on computers and laptops and iPads and stuff, what do you think it will take to get more people to come out and support the arts in general and the symphony in particular? You know, the board is certainly supportive of the musicians, but they are feeling the pinch of the economic realities of classical music.
Yeah. It's a very large question. I think it's mostly a question of education. We are submerged in a way by music, by meaningless music. You know, every commercial that you hear on television, on the radio, can you imagine on the radio, which is, it's visionless. You don't use your eyes for the radio. You use your ears for the radio. Whoever said that competing with your message or whatever you're saying in words with this thumping music in the background, where you can't even hear the message, it's so loud, that this is the way to get a message across.
Yeah, and it comes back down to this orientation of that you mentioned earlier, listening. It's about how we listen and what we listen for and the emotional investment we're willing to give in our listening. Yeah. Well, I am very much, and so is Linnell, looking forward to listening tonight to hear you play Mozart with the symphony. So thank you so much, and happy birthday. I haven't seen you since your birthday, your 90th birthday last summer. And
thank you.
But we're all looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Tom, it's a pleasure.
Leon Fleischer will play a piano concerto by Mozart, number 12 in A major, with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra tonight and Sunday afternoon at the Meyerhoff Symphony Hall, and tomorrow night at Strathmore Hall in Bethesda. The program also includes the Second Symphony of Johannes Brahms, and we've got information about tickets at wypr.org/midday. That's it for us today. Coming up Monday, a preview of this year's General Assembly in Annapolis, which gets back to work on Wednesday. Lavita Wiggins of the Washington Post, Rachel Bay of the WYPR News team, and Josh Kurtz of Maryland Matters will join me. We'll take a look at the issues that will dominate this session, the first session of Governor Larry Hogan's second and final term. We want to thank Bottoms Up Bagels for providing lunch today. Bottoms Up Bagels is a small batch pop-up bagel shop preparing hand-rolled New Jersey-style bagels, house-cured lox, and specialty cream cheeses are inspired by traditions of bagel making dating back to the 1940s. Bottoms Up Bagels offers customized catering packages of all kinds. They're available at the Waverly Farmers Market and at bottomsupbagels.com. Midday's director and engineer is Luke Spicknall. We've had special help from Katie Marquette this week. Rob Sivak, Sienna Greaves, and Kathleen Cahill produced the program. Jamila Krempel is WIPR's digital producer. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. We leave you today with the music of J.S. Bach, played by the one and only Leon Fleischer. This is an arrangement of a piece from one of Bach's cantatas, Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great weekend.